Good morning. Good morning. My mic's on. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Now, am I getting louder or is the mic getting louder? Huh? Well, I don't, yeah. There we go. Now, if I get it that close, I'll be chewing on it in a little bit. Huh? It'd be like a piece of bubble gum. Oh, good morning, everyone. Is everyone ready for Christmas? It's coming up, ain't it? So, what did I do with my program? Can I borrow your program? Just to have, I left it in the office. I'm sorry. Oh, I just want to, helps me stay straight, you know. Like to welcome everyone in the program. There's a your special right there, and it's usually one or two people, but in the month of December, we're all going to be special in the Lord, okay? He's going to love us all special this month, because he's going to, you know. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to come in here this morning and, you know, just bring your word, your spirit, your guidance to us as we seek to walk in this world in your love and your guidance and your and being servants to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Oh, let's, announcements. Oh, they already up there, ain't they? You got anything on the Bible study that you want to say, Brother Osborne?
No, it's been good.
It's been good, all right. Okay. Next week, we'll be kind of talking about the birth of Christ and the free medical care that's available. Here we got this coming up there, the pastor. Last week, that was a very, very, very excess. We had a like 25 or so. And that was the second most pastors that I had been in that they were all there. So it was, we got great support, and they were all excited about the future of the church and stuff. So it was really kind of surprising. We were just, we had, you know, it was, the tables we had was full enough that, you know, we was having to, they were having to slide the chairs around because there was just not enough room for them all. They were elbow to elbow, so it was really good. Sherry and Miss Alma, they did the work mostly to get it ready and stuff, and did a great job. And thank you guys for that. Nita cooked some lasagna that was just they just loved that stuff and ate it up, you know. And I told her that, that same lady had promised to cook a delicious cake, you know. So next week you may have a delicious cake from the same lady. If you like that, wait till you get the cake, is what I told them. So thank y'all. Our sing-along on the 17th, that's coming up at 6 o'clock. Everyone should have inside the information on that. Don is asking that anyone wants to bring food or what was you exactly wanting?
Refreshment.
Any, if you wanted to bring cookies or, you know, whatever, to feel free to bring it and stuff. So if you want to make a pie or some cookies or whatever and bring them. Huh? No pie? Okay. So if you want to make a pie and God has put that on your heart, you can still bring it, and I will personally see that it gets taken care of. Okay? Huh? So just keep that in your mind. No, thank you. Oh, and the church council meeting coming up on the 16th at 6 o'clock. Food and fellowship on the 19th. Oh, the play's coming up. There's a sign-up sheet back there. It's going to be geared around children doing the play this year. We've got a new family that will be coming in the church. Got six kids, and they're going to come and help out in the play and stuff. But where is she at? Oh, she's back there. I'm used to seeing you sit there. And you hide behind her. But my wife can give you more details on rehearsals and that. You know, I've just been told that I have to build a major scene. So I guess that's what I'm going to be doing before that. But if you want to know more, ask her about it. And I know that I think Don's helping out, and I think Shaney, and I don't really know who all's helping out. That's your guys. Whatever y'all do, I know it'll end up being good. Thank you. And of course, I know you're helping out. My granddaughter just gave me the eye, like, don't forget me. I'm helping out too. So no, baby, I'm not forgetting you. Get a drink of water. My sinuses have been giving me a crazy way to go. I have sinus problems. I try not to take stuff for them because it makes you loopy, but sometimes you have to. Before we get started this morning, I just want to say it's good to see Jordan here with Miss Rosie. Much braver man than I am. Because if I had a son as good looking as that boy, I don't know if I'd want to be seen in the same room with him, so... But, you know, brave man. Me and Jordan goes back a way. Me and him have a baseball history together that we had a lot of fun together. So we went down to Lewiston together and upset the apple cart, didn't we? Yeah. That was good times. So today we're going to be looking at Isaiah and... talking a little bit about that in this Christmas holiday, and I'm going to try to tie that into what's going on now and what God does for us. And Osborne will read our scriptures for us, please.
Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey, and when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right.
For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this."
Thank you so much. Thank you. So, you know, two or three weeks ago, we talked about David and how Jesus was coming to replace David. And here it's being prophesied. And the point that I'm going to try to make today is, let's first look at a little bit of what we know about Isaiah, right? You know, and what we know about him, he was a prophet that was... lived 700 years before Christ was born. He was the one that first prophesied a different message of God, that not only God was the judge, but he would also be the Savior from the judgment. 700 years before Christ would be born. Probably the most important prophet in prophesying about the coming of Christ. Now, it's not written anywhere, but the Jewish people today believe he became a martyr by being sawed in two for his beliefs in God. And they still believe that today. He's one of the few prophets in the Bible that Christians, Muslims, and Jewish people all hold in high regards. I mean, this is a nobody. This wasn't a nobody that were prophesizing. He was a man that counseled with kings. So this was not, you know, some guy off the side of the road in this society prophesizing the coming of the Christ. This was a man that was well respected, that he had such authority in their community that he could approach kings in council. That's powerful stuff. It's powerful. My point is today, is when we look at this, Emmanuel, God with us, and we look at this, a lot of times as Christians, we like to think that God has blindsided us with his will. And that's just simply not true. This group of people that would be dealing with Jesus, 700 years of prophesied was being handed down to prepare them for the Christ that was coming, his people, the Lord's people, the Messiah. And then when he got here, they were not prepared for him to be here. When he was born, they were not ready. And it wasn't because God blindsided with his people. It wasn't because of that, because God started telling them about it 700 years before he got here. So once again, what's the flawed thing in this process? Me, humanity. God has a single purpose for us, and that's to be back with him. And he's done everything he can to create a road that we can go that will bring him back through the Holy Spirit and his Son. And he's got us good information right here. But we want to interpret this in his knowledge and not our knowledge. But man seems to have a habit to want to interpret this in our knowledge. We want to read God's word and then mold it into what we want God's future to look like for us. Instead of reading God's word and try to understand what his future looks like for us. My question is, am I going to be one of these people that 700 years later, and I'm in that 700 years later period right now, and maybe this Christmas, who knows? No man knows. But the second coming of Christ is here. Can I look the individual in the mirror and say, if that happens tomorrow, I will be able to recognize it? Or am I going to think it's something else? Because these people did. When they were told for 700 years, he's a coming, he's a coming, he's a coming, Christ is a coming. Isaiah told us he was coming, this is what he said, and it was repeated and repeated and repeated. God is not a backwards God. God is a future God. The car of God, so to speak, has a windshield and a rearview mirror. And there's a reason that the rearview mirror is way smaller than the windshield. God has never told these people to not keep a view on the past and learn from it, but stay focused looking out of the windshield. Because my greatest work is yet to come. And if you're too busy staring into the rearview mirror, you may pass the turnoff that takes you to my kingdom. Your GPS may go off and say, turn around, go up, take two blocks, turn left, go back, because you missed it. You ever did that, driving down the road trying to use the GPS? And I'm horrible at it, you know, and the next thing I know, I'm riding along and I'm listening to the music or I'm doing whatever I'm doing, you know, and I'm really not paying to the little lady, you know, and I'll pass where I'm supposed to turn. And then she gets upset, you know. You know, recalculating. You got to go down there and go around the back of the building and you got to come, you know. I don't want to miss that turn when it comes. I want to stay focused on the future out the windshield. Because God is concerned of my future in Him, not my past. My mama used to tell me, and this is an old saying that goes around, and I heard it a bunch of different days, but she'd try to convince me. See, I would do something that I thought was really good, and I just want to get stuck in that and just go on and on. Boy, did you see that game I played? Blah, 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 blah. And 2 months later, I'd still be talking about that game I played. You know, and my mom would say, son, you can't live in the past. There's no future in it. But that was a hard lesson for me to learn. Because God will do something great in my life, in my walk with Him, and I'll feel so good about it that I will believe that this is my defining moment in God. And I always sell God short in them situations. It's not up to me to decide what was my defining moment in Him. It's up to Him. And I know He's not done with me yet because I'm still standing here. I'm not a finished product. He's going to take this raggedy old Southern that's really unqualified to do anything, and then He's going to use me to do something extraordinary that is proof in the pudding that it could not have been nothing but God, because on my very best day, with the help of 100 people, I couldn't have accomplished that. You know, my brother had said that to me more than once. He said, you, because he knows me. My brother knows me. He's been there at just about every shortcoming that I had, every falling down that I did, every stumble that I had, every mistake that I made, every second and third ignorant mistake that I made that I didn't learn from for the first time. And he will call me at times, and he watches this. And he'll say, you know, you're just convincing me that they're, you're just reaffirming me in God. Because me and you know that what you did there ain't from you. Didn't come from you. You know, because I know you. I was there when Mama was changing your diaper. I saw you at your very best moment in your own will. And it's not even on the same, it's not even in the same country with God's will. You know, so it's not like you got lucky one time and kind of hit it, right? No. We must be looking out the windshield, being willing to embrace God's future for us as Christians, even if sometimes it's uncomfortable. And it is. It's uncomfortable. You know? It is uncomfortable for me to live without my son today. It was uncomfortable. But he was the path of my God's future for me. And now today, he has a new future for me. And I can do one or two things. I can take the past of the future that I thought was my future forever, that I would get an old man with a son and a couple of grandsons playing college baseball and all this vision that I had for my life. I can take that vision and I can get in a corner and get angry and resentful, and I can wither away in God. Or I can say, God, I don't like what the future looked like. But I know if I seek you and I want your will for my life, that if I'll just embrace that future that I'm not wanting to embrace because I can't see the whole picture, that when it's said and done, if I'm walking in you, I can look back and see how that painful change in my life was a natural process to get me stronger to who I need to be in you. Because everything on this earth is a temporary appointment. Everything on this earth does not stay the same. The only thing that stays the same is my opportunity to be with my Lord and Savior forever. But I must seek Him in all things and put nothing else before Him to get there. And Satan does that to me. He tries to tell me what I got right now is good enough. It's the best. It's this, my now is way better than God's future. You got it. You made it. You ain't going to get any better than this. Just enjoy this right now and just hold on to it. Leave claw marks on it forever. Don't let it go. Don't worry about that future that God has promised you. It's a pipe dream. And I have to say, get behind me, Satan. Yeah. It may be a pipe dream, but it's a pipe dream that's a straight shot to be with my Lord and Savior forever and be able to be in His presence and understand His unconditional love for eternity and with my loved ones in that same situation. So if that's a pipe dream, that's a pipe dream that I want. So this Christmas, we'll do the next week, we'll do that, talk a little bit about the birth of Christ out of Matthew. And then we'll have this parade that they're putting together. I know nothing about it, but I have to build a manger is what I've been told. So good luck with that. And I promise I hope it don't look too bad. I can build a little bit, you know. I kind of like doing that. You know, my hero was a carpenter. Yeah, so you know, yeah, my hero was a carpenter. So I kind of, you know, I kind of like to try to do stuff that he did, you know. So let's just remember what the true blessing is in Christ and the birth of Christ and what he means to us, that he is our salvation, that he is the judge, but he is also the redeemer. He's also the solution. He's also the one that deals out forgiveness. Never before men have had it as good as we have it. Never before. Ain't that amazing? And Isaiah, he prophesied about it. He said there will become a king. And God is the judge. He will be the final judge. But he'll also be the solution. He will not be a judge that condemns you for your punish you for your sin that you walked in, but he'll be your free ticket to walk out of that sin and into the Lord's prosperity through Jesus Christ. He'll say there, God will stand there and look at us in the book of life. And we'll be standing there. And as Mike likes to say, Jesus will say, I got that one. I got that one. I got that one. I got that one. Father, oh, I got that one too, Father. Yeah, I got that one. They loved me with all their heart when they were on earth. They did everything they could to spread my love to other men. So now I'm standing in the gap for them. And all that sin that should not touch you, my Father, I washed it clean of your will with my blood on that cross. And they are not that sinful creature that they were at one time. But now they're that pure being that you created again. And they are worthy to be in your presence. Boy, ain't that a good God? If you can't get excited about that God, you need to check and see if you still got a pulse. You know, somebody wake them up. You know, I love my Lord and Savior. Because I'm worthless without him. I've said it once and I'll say it again. Without Jesus Christ, if you paid 2 cents for me, you got ripped off. Somebody cheated you. So that's my message today from Isaiah and what it means. I hope you got something out of it. If you didn't, I'm sorry. I'll work harder next week. I believe we have a worship song coming up. Is that not correct?
It's all about you, Jesus, and all this is for you. For your glory and your fame, it's not about me, as if you should do. Thank you.
Up her hip. Nita let me know that. So pray for her. And I believe she's looking for someone to help her with snow shoveling this winter. So if you know someone that may be interested in helping her, I believe they said they would be able to pay someone to come and help. Excuse me, let me get a drink of water. So keep her in your prayers. Julie Miller, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry. And we got Vinny, Sue. But Sue's here with us today. That was a testimony that wasn't told that should have been told, because I know she had a couple of two or three tough weeks, sickness. And me and her talked a little bit and shared some of the same, you know, because I had COVID, I think, I don't know, a week or two before I got better. Then about a week later, you got sick, I think, something like that. And you just don't understand it until you get it, and it knocks you down, and your fatigues. If you're one of the people that gets it and it doesn't hit you hard, well, you think, oh, it ain't no. But if you're one of them, you're like, we're talking, yeah, I walked across the room, and I was fatigued, and I had to sit down for 2 hours, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, my headaches keep coming back. You know, I took 500 Tylenols, and I still got a headache. You know, it's crazy, but God is good. He'll deliver us. And I got Vinny. Dwayne asked me to put him on the list a while back, so I've left him. Sue, and then Don, and then Hannah and her whole family. Her oxygen got down real low the other night, down to like 76, and she had to go on oxygen and stuff, but she's still doing better now, right? Up and down. Yeah, and I did have Dennis and them, you know, because they were sick, but there they sat. So I'm sorry I took you off the list. You're looking good to me, you know. If it's not, let me know, and I'll put you right back on real quick. I still want to pray for you because I love you, but, I mean, you're not in a struggle of being. And Miss D, of course, she's finna throw a cane at me. Excuse me. I'm sorry, Miss D. I won't do it again. Whatever it was, I know it was my fault. And Miss Beth Ann, she's not here with us today and at home. Miss Linda, Jackie is still having her. The lady that's been helping me in the office, Sherry, she says she's still got some stuff going with her shoulder and stuff. But I was riding by a Memorial Field the other day, and I could have swore I saw someone out there looking like her tossing a football around. I'm just saying. You know, but they had their back to me, and they saw me. They were kind of like this, you know, and then they saw my car because they know it, and all of a sudden they turned around like that. So I'm like, and I had to get somewhere to be, and I was like, is that Sherry out there throwing that football? You know? So, but we're still going to thank that shoulder. We're going to keep praying for it, you know. Oh, maybe you want us to pray because you want to throw it from one goal line to the other, and you ain't got there yet. All right, so I'm with you now. I see what's going on here. And, of course, we got Jimbo and his back and coming and doing better. How's that doing, Jimbo? Is it getting better? So. Keep that in. Bulldog and his family. It's good to see. I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but he delivered that door for the back. And I didn't get that in because I had a bunch of stuff come up this week that I did not expect to come up. and I had to run like crazy. Some stuff with district and different stuff. It happens, you know. But we had a good time to talk about the door and the roof and stuff like that. And I really enjoy Bulldog, talking to him and stuff. I really do. He's just really good people, and he's really down to earth, and he's kind of, you know, level-headed when you talk to him, and just good common sense. And we know the day and time, common sense is a precious commodity in this society. You know, so is there anyone else that's not on this list that we should uplift?
I would like to put on the Kurtzman
family.
Okay. Their middle boy is having surgery, and the family is just really hard. So, and, you know, they're just finances, just everything. You know, all of the above with a major surgery. They didn't really tell me what the illness was, but it's very serious. So.
And is that the family that's...
That's the mother that is...
Selling...
To
help pay for the
treatments and stuff like that. Okay.
So let's pray that she sells every piece of baked good that she needs to pay for this young man's treatment that he needs.
Yeah. She's hand making them. She's taking orders by Wednesday and delivering on Friday.
Okay.
So.
And if anybody's interested in that, get with Shaney afterwards, and she can probably tell you how you can buy a pie. Anyone else? With the storms, okay. Yeah, y'all got to keep me up to, Mississippi and stuff, our kinfolks down there. Yes, and anyone else. And see, I love D so much because a lot of people don't know it. But she's the only person that I know in North Idaho that knows where Boonville, Mississippi is. And that's where my mother was born and raised, in Boonville. I still got kinfolks there. Ma'am? Yeah. Yeah. That's your hometown. I've heard of it, never been there. You know, but I have heard of it.
You'll miss it if you run.
Do you have someone, Mike?
I've never been there and I ain't going.
Oh, okay. You know, you ain't going. Well, that's a good idea. You might be surprised. The one thing about the South down there in that area, it is real. You go down there, there's really hard. You have a hard time getting a bad meal.
Yeah.
You know, the food is good. If it's nothing else good down there, boy, the food is good. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just asked you to come in each and every one of these individuals on our list that we uplifted to you today in your name, that you will bring their healing, your understanding, these people that are struggling with these storms. And we just realize that all things are possible through you, by you, in your will. And we just pray that you will bring the healing to them that they need, that they understand, and the healing that you want for them, and not always the healing that we want for us. Because sometimes what we think we need is not always the best thing. That we seek you in all things and take all our hardships and find out a way to glorify you with them. And through that process, we will come out the other end better people for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
And thank y'all.